Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Though the weather, Lord, is not pleasant, yet, Lord, we are thankful to be alive, to breathe, Lord, Lord, this life for another day. For thou art the life giver, and life is meant to be lived, O Lord, and to be enjoyed in all that which you have done and created, O Lord, in this far, big, wide universe and upon this planet Earth. We thank you, Lord, for the knowledge that we have, the revelation that we have of the one true God and the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this revelation, for this understanding that which you have given us. That's the reason why we are here today. We didn't choose to come here today. It is you that compel us, Father, in the Spirit. For we know, Lord, thy word say that no man seeketh after God, but God seeketh after man. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, each to his own way. And we do whatever we like. We thank you, Lord, like a good shepherd, you go a hunting, go a searching for the lost sheep and call them home. We thank you, Father. Amen. We ask for this blessing today, O Lord, of your word upon our life as we look into it, Father. We ask in Jesus' name that you bless. Amen. You may be seated. Now, just recap quickly as usual. Then I really want you to make you to see the whole, you know, picture of the serpent and his trail. And we realized that from the beginning that when Cain was born and after that he gave birth to him, his son, you know, and then he built a city. And that's one of the things about the very attribute or that make up the spirit of the serpent seed. Because this spirit was infiltrated, his spirit was infiltrated by Satan. And as I said, you must always remember this, is that whatever already happened in this world, past history, the present, and what is to come, this world belonged to Satan. And from the very beginning, he had been thwarting the plan of God. He always wanted to destroy, yet the desire just to destroy God's plan and bring about chaos, so to say. So when Cain gave birth later on to a son, from being a farmer, he was able to harness the matter that he found in the earth. Whether it's iron or bronze, he made them into tools. And then from that, he was able even to build instruments, musical instruments. They are very, very intelligent people. You know. But as the Celtic people, they are very simple people. Just looking after the sheep and just live a simple life. All right? And I want you to remember this because in the future, after Christ comes to rule this world for 1,000 years, and then there will be the final showdown between Satan and Christ, and after which Satan will be locked up and cast into hell and burned up. Then the whole earth will become new again. Christ, God was going to burn this whole earth up, and everything will become new again. There will be no, as I said, America will no longer exist. Australia, the island of Australia, you call it an island, isn't it? You call it a continent, but it's a big fat island. That's why, okay? That will no longer exist. Singapore Island will no longer exist because Everything on this earth will be destruction when the water is, when the earth is put on fire, the water will season and go up and then form again the canopy around the earth. Well, we have a greenhouse effect. We won't have four seasons like here in the world. There'll be no humidity like we have here. The greenhouse effect will keep the whole earth cool. Okay, and then also there will be no rain. Because the water goes up, they have to shield. The water, the well, earth will be only watered by the, what you call the mist that came out, that comes out from the ground to water the earth. So that there will be trees and grasses and herbs and things like that. You understand? So when we go into that future, way back into the future then, you will realize one thing. Nobody is going to live in a condo. I can guarantee you that. There'll be no private property. Okay? There'll be no apartment flat. There will be simple structure. There will be no concrete building. There'll be no cars. There'll be no aeroplane. So what then, Brother Gil, what do we do? You see, in the beginning when God created heavens and earth, when He put mankind on earth, they are supposed to live simply because no rain, so why is that the worry? They can sleep under the tree. Or even in the day when of Abraham and the patriarch, when they were walking around throughout the land of Canaan, all they do is live in a simple tent. You know? And that's why in the Jews today, they have this feast called the Feast of Tabernacle, where they take branches and leaves and then form into a little simple canopy and live inside there. Right? So you don't have to worry about electricity. You don't want to worry about buying a bed. Isn't it true? Anyway, I think that not only here in modern days, we not only buy a bed with a good mattress, but we want a comforter. Is that a comforter? The one that you put over that and all. I see there's some people living in Singapore as if they are living in a cold country like Europe, where they need that. Because most of us don't even sleep with a blanket in Singapore. But yeah, people switch on the aircon, but it's so cold and sleep under the blanket. So we'll be back to normal as it was in the very beginning. Because one thing I told you, I said this before. Men build, men destroy. When men invented something, they used that, whatever that something be, it turned into a weapon, into a, something of destruction. Take for example, when men discover metal. What they do with the metal? That's one thing, you know. They say, oh, I need a metal to dig the ground and plant potatoes. You need metal to do it. You can't use a branch to make into a, you know, you can take a branch of a tree and dig it. Oh, in those days when God have the animals on the earth, it's sin never, you know, enter into the earth. How would Adam live? The grass will grow. Who is going to trim the grass? You need a lawnmower? No, you have the goats and the sheep, remember? They're going to be the one that cut the grass. And the grass will be trimmed. You agree with that?
Yes.
You find that the summer will be dark. Well, what we call to prune the tree as well. And the bacteria, the God, and the worm, earthworm, whatever it is, the natural earth, when anything drops from a tree and dies, it will break down and goes back to the dust of the earth. Do you know how important is the earthworm? Do you know how important is the bacteria? Do you think God created bacteria to kill your body? Do you think God created, you know, fungus? Mold to kill your body. Some of the people have this mold, you know, fungus, rashes on the body. What do you think you get on the body? What do you get bacteria in the body? It's because of sin. Once sin came in, the Spirit of God lived. And the body became subjected to death. Because God said to Adam, the day you eat it, you will surely die. So once the Spirit of God is taken away, since the body is dead, bacteria acts just like a fruit. Drop on the ground, it dies because it decays. So the bacteria will act upon it to break it down. That's why when you die, you're buried underground, and you just decompose away, rot away. You know. So I want you to realize, therefore, that when Satan used the serpent to bring that sin into the world, he brought that seed called Cain. And Cain was that seed that Satan used to bring about a destruction against God's word, if possible. So, not long after that, one or two generations after that, he had the idea of building cities. And when he built a city, you know what city is like. You compare, if you go to a village or a land where there's just simple land out there, farms, and then somebody built a city, what do you think? People will flock to the city. The attraction is to the city. And not only that, after the flood, because of the, you know, before the flood, because of the sons of God, the seven people crossbreed in the marriage with the Canaanite people, the serpent seed people. And it produced giants. Men, they were very renowned. Men, they were very intelligent. Giant in the mind as well, many of them giant in science. And the Bible said they are very wicked. And they are taught in the head, in the mind, with just evil continually. All they want to do is do things that defy God. Things that, you know, so they are defiant against God. Things that will destroy people or destroy the environment, so to speak. Now, think for example in the world that we live in right now. Those who, entrepreneur, all they care about is making money, you know, whatever they could do. It takes, for example, some companies say, oh, I need the oil. Now, you know the drilling of oil stuff, right? What happened to America today? Look at the fracking. You know what fracking is? The whole continent of America, many places, they are fracking. Trying to get gas or oil or whatever they could. You are cracking up the earth. See? And when they drilled oil out there in the ocean and when something went awry, what happened? The crude oil leaks out from the ocean and from the bed of the ocean and then pollute the whole ocean. Huh. What about those who... But you know, I don't know where you have seen it. In some mall that I've been to, and I think also maybe also in the airport, you go to the toilet and you wash your hand, and then you want to take the paper towel, right? There is a sign that shows some trees. It says that when these are gone, so will be the paper. And some people don't care. So one or two is enough. One. It's a whole bunch, the five or six, and then they throw all this on the floor onto the bin. What? You want paper? Yes. Where did the paper come from? Where do the paper come? They come from the trees. And that's why people make money out of it. Well, they go and lock the tree. Look at the Philippines in Mindanao. How much flooding there are? What about in Africa? India? When you start cutting down the tree, you've got to cause landslide. And the trees in the world today is, I don't know how many percent, it's gone. And without green trees, what do you think? What do you think that our government, for to start off with, our minister, what do you call it, Guan Yu? It's called? Minister Mentor. When he was prime minister, you know, and his wife, she's what a woman, you know. I think that they were the one that she was the one who suggested about this green lungs thing. Now, if we didn't plant trees, that's why in Singapore, I believe that one citizen has two trees. If it wasn't for the planting of trees, and trees in the city, Orchard Road, Singapore would be. Not today, what we have. What is the temperature today? 33? 30? 33? Maybe outside is 33 or 34. If it wasn't for those trees, I can tell you one thing. You'll probably get 36, 38. how important that is. And so without the trees and rain cloud would not be over Singapore. It will probably go somewhere else where there are trees. So you see what it is like when men are destroying the earth. Huh? So who cares? After all, I own a big company, I'm in it. All they care about is the money. But they don't care about the earth. That's why we have this organization called what? Green Environment. The one to fight against any those who are cutting long trees and pollute the earth and things like that. Huh? Greenpeace. I mean, you just think about it. That carnality, that serpent, God intended man to be simple. But should have given a law and taught the plan of God, caused chaos, and man became carnal, and that's why this intermingling of the sin causes giant. They're thinking only evil, only self-centered. Self-centered. And many politicians are that, are self-centered. Many preachers also in the churches, all they care about is make their church big, tens of thousands of membership. What did they preach to them? We are not here. You're not here for me to preach to you a nice sermon for you to be feeling good. And then collect your money into a big pocket, and into a bag, and then use it for what? For who? For mission work? For doing what we call, well, sometimes people do the wrong thing, you know? Wanting the wife to be a pop star. What is that? Or try to help young people out from the streets, and get them into a building and talk to them about Jesus Christ, and then what? That's it? And yet the preacher said, oh, how do you get a small salary a month? But they have big condo, big private property, big cars. And all these images started off from America. America is known in the Bible as the false prophet. It started all from there. Look at the lying spirit that got onto preachers on television. Benny Hinn, Popov, and so many others. You see, it come over to Singapore. When I saw that back in the 60s, I saw this is going to be a problem. Because I know what charismaticism is. It's the dangerous of all movement in Christian organization. But it's so subtle that a lot of people don't see it. The same thing what we see in the Bible, the way that the serpent people operate. Because the Bible said, the serpent, what do you say in chapter 4 of Genesis? Don't do it. So that you can remember it, chapter 4 of Genesis, verse 1. Said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Chapter 3, sorry. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Means that your knowledge is cunning, is smart. That's why there is always a saying. I don't know whether the Indian has such a saying. We Chinese have a saying. And a very cunning, you know, slimy, go this way behind people's back. And that's why the serpent is called the whisperer. Gossiper. And now, even worse today, how the world has evolved until today, in those days when we are young, you sit down and hear a news on the news broadcast, or you open the pages of the newspaper and read the news. At least you know it's credible. Today, a lot of report, how do you know it's credible? The news that you're reading or you're hearing on the news broadcast channel. Huh? A lot of fake news coming out. How can you believe? How do you know what's real? You see. And that's what said, the world will give up to a place, will come to a place where it's so chaotic that even we suspect each other. Huh? We suspect a brother or a sister. Yes. We'll come to a place where the world becomes very paranoid. And you know how paranoid the American people are. The politicians are in America. Huh? all about this security, about the plane and all this, all was created by them. Alright, so how they build this city after the flood that we have already covered last Sunday. After the flood, not long after that, what happened? The same thing happened. They build big cities. Alright, go to chapter 10. And we read over in verse 8 onwards. And Cush began, Nimrod, he began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. Now, this is a play of words here. Because in Hebrew writing, there are many times a lot of play of words to show two things that happen simultaneously. Okay, like a dwarf prophecy thing. Okay, so Nimrod, truly he was a mighty hunter. In history, not a book, he was a great hunter. He could go out there and hunt animals. And he's very good at hunting. And then suddenly he came back, alright, to his village, or later on, of course, he built a city. And when he came back, everybody just loved him. Right? Now, I don't know about you, today's song, today's, I don't know what you call it, pop song, not, but, because I don't think it's pop song. A lot of times it's a lot of banging, a lot of noise in the music. But in our days, when I was young, the songs are all very simple. Huh? You know, for example, I remember Elvis Presley, The Wooden Heart. Okay? Another one is about the letter that was sent and then returned back. She said, return to sender. Right? So all the songs in those days were very simple wordings, right? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You see? But today, I don't know, all this music just doesn't make any sense to me. But the thing is this, if you remember, when I remember in those days, in the 50s, 60s, you can see that when some movie star, popular star come, especially pop singer, the Elvis, the Ricky Nelsons, or the Beatles, you can see that all the girls, especially the girls, they swoon, they don't when they come, you know, and they would go to the airport and meet them. They are popular because there's something about them. Correct? The same thing here we have Nimrod. Of all the people who went out there to hunt, he was such a mighty hunter, was a good hunter. So people look up to him. They cheer him. They look up to him. But you know, what is happening in the song world is the same as in the same case as in Nimrod. Like Elvis Presley, for example. He had influence, right? So he got all the girls and people who love him and all that, especially go and then of course men will. So they listen to bad records and they have Elvis Presley's club. Even today, Elvis is still alive. And how people imitate Elvis. Okay, so they come to that place that people are so hooked up to him. What happened to their soul? What happened to their soul? I was trapped in that when I was young for 2 years. That's why God told me to get out from there. And it is one thing I find very hard to depend. Because I spent my money buying useless records and buying what we call those magazines. I can't remember what was named those magazines. You know where you have all the singers and movie stars there. You just want to keep up to date what these people are doing. Wow, that's become my God. You know what I mean? What is Elvis Presley doing today? What the Beatles doing today? You know, all these reports. What's going on? I was trapped in that for 2 years. And other things, of course. And I almost died because God wanted to get me out there and I refused. I could have died. God was dealing with my life. So I came out of that. I've actually for 2 years because of that. You know. So, I was just thinking here. Nimrod was such a good hunter. Everybody just fell in love with him. And then while he saw himself being popular, he began to build a city. He wanted to control the people. That's why he built that city and the tower. You understand what I mean? So when you are out of the city, he said, let me go and live in the city of Nimrod. So he built that city. And when the problem is, it's not about the city in itself. What Satan was doing was to keep the people, when God said to the people, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Go, populate the earth. But Nimrod, Satan, through Nimrod and Cush, want to hold the people in one area. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's just like religion today. Hold the people into one place. Now, there are certain religions that do pilgrims, right? Well, like in the Muslim, they have their pilgrimage to Mecca. I don't know whether the Catholic do that to go to Vatican City or not. But they do, huh? Okay. And then perhaps like the Buddhists, they have their own place. Okay. Now some people like to go to Nepal, right? So, I don't know about the Indian, where is that their special place? Where is the Hindu? Would you know where their special place is?
Yes.
Huh? What?
Genghis River.
Genghis River. Oh, yes. You know, yeah, they have a certain place that holds them. And people will go there, you see. Now, these are pilgrimage, so they are pilgrimage. You and I, we are all pilgrimage. We are all pilgrimage. On the pilgrimage, right? We are all pilgrims. So, where do we go? What is the place of our attraction? Huh? We don't go to a certain city up there somewhere in the Middle East or in Europe or in India or China. What is the place we go? We always, on Sunday, we could try to do is to come together into this world. This is our place. Why do they come out of Babylon worship? They worship in the Word of God. Why two or three are gathered in my name, around my word especially, then would I be in the midst? See? Because we are a pilgrim. We are on a pilgrimage. So we travel. And not just coming together on Sunday, everywhere we go, it's about the word. It's not about a person, it's not about a place. Huh? Nimrod, everybody look to him. In the song world, in the popular movie world, it's Brad Pitt or Arnold Schwarzenegger, maybe he's gone. Maybe somebody else, and then you have today, I don't know what all this idol, song idol, I don't know, that. Mariah Carey or whatever. I only hear those names, but I don't know who they are, actually. So, people are attracted to people, or to a place, you know. But we should be attracted to the Word of God, you see. So, there's no difference. The moment the serpents came into the world, you can see the trail very clearly. They always want to be big. Because serpent himself is a big fella, the bigger way. And Cain was born. When he killed Eva, God increased his size. That was already the mark that we can see. And then when the people start to crossbreed, that serpent nature itself, that gene, together with the sons of God, altered everything, and some of them became giant in size as well as in their mind. But not all Canaanites, of course, are intelligent. Some of them are pretty stupid anyway. Sure. You know. Alright. So this is all about big influence. So from building city, they build empires. Build a big tower to hold as empire. And it says over here in chapter 10. I want you to look. Alright, so he was verse 9 says, chapter 10, verse 9. So Nimrod was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore he said, even as Nimrod the mighty hunter before the Lord, he not only hunt animals, but he hunt the souls of men. This is what verse is, huh? Yes, he was a mighty hunter. When people look to him, he controls them. He will try to hold them. That's why people look to him like people, you know, movie fan or all this. They are trapped. So he becomes the hunters of the souls of man. And in verse 10, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. So Babel was not just a city, huh? It was actually a kingdom. He tried to hold the people together and live in that city under his kingship. See? And Iran, and Arca, and Canaan in the land of Shinar. See? And there was one man who opposed him. Out of the land went for Ashu. And he went and built Nineveh. And then also the city of Rehoboth and Calah. And listen, between Nineveh and Calah, the same is a great city. But later on these places, Nimrod went over there and conquered it. You know, there are people like that, they're not satisfied. Ashur's finest, no, I'm not going to be here, I go out. And he went on. But later on, you know, they followed. These Nimrod's people went and conquered them as well. People cannot be simple in any way. So, well, anyway, because of the mixture of people, so the population stopped building cities anyway. And the Shemite people also later on built city, and the people of Japheth people also built cities. Alright. So now we also look at one thing. When Nimrod came into power, it's not just a political issue, huh, that he wanted to be the king. But he created his own religion. Now I want you to observe this political movement that turned itself into a religious movement at the same time. Right? Now, they are actually what we see today, not just in Christianity, but in many religions. Okay? We look into all the others. We know the wars are fought on religious ground, correct? So when we say religious ground, what do we mean? It's not about just about your God thing. It's about your ideology. Hitler, for example. Why did Hitler go to war? Because his ideology, his religious belief. Though he doesn't worship God in any sense of the word, he has religious belief. And he was so blinded and so out of what came into his mind that to him, the Jew was an offense. The Jew was the bastards of the earth, the curse of the earth. The foulness of the earth, everything that happened in the earth, the bad things, all was to be blamed on the Jew. And to him, he wanted to have, well, people with blue eyes and blonde hair. They're supposed to be the supreme race. Blue eyes and blonde hair. If you only know a lot of blue eyes and blonde hair, people are just plain stupid too. People think they're good to look at. Yes, here's a woman and a man with fair skin, blue eyes, and brown hair. Right? But if you have blonde hair, fair skin with green eye, you look at it, you look away. Because people with green eyes are kind of scary. But you see, that is what the ideology was to Hitler. But it was a political move. And so, same thing, look at some of these extreme Islamic group. It's political, religious. And then we have, of course, another religion, like, was it Buddhism from Nepal, where the Lama, is it? Okay, he himself also is a political person as well. He has a say. Look at the Catholic Church, the Pope. He's a political figure, not a religious figure to begin with. He has a lot of say. The Bible said that the kings of the earth will bow down to him. Now, if you want to seek an audience with the Pope, you must kiss his hand. Huh? You know that, don't you? Yeah. You see? Because the Bible said so. This is what the people will do. They commit fornication with him. And you go back into history, look into the history of the Catholic Church. How much struggle there were in that organization. Those archbishops who or cardinal, they wanted to be pope, they were able to kill each other. Read it. The evil that was done within to further their own inner kingdom. That's what Nimrod did to begin with. And the Bible calls it the first of his kingdom was Babel. And I told you what was Babel? Babel is ba-ba-ba-ba. You know how kids talk? It's babbling. But it made chaos. Cush. Confounder. His name is all bad. The name is no good. Even Nimrod means a marauder. The one who is rebellious. I don't know how you... you know, I think that it's so important for us fathers to name your children, those parents to name your children properly. Right? Remember how Birmingham even said that if you don't name your children Ricky, Ricky means what? A rat. No, don't give a name that you don't know. Even the name has meaning. Why do you think God changed the name of Jacob to Israel? Jacob's name means a supplanter. But when God changed his name, because after he conquered and he wrestled with the angel of God and he won, his name was changed to what? Israel means what? The prince of God. Name has meaning. So don't call your children Atu, a cow, you know what? Pig or dog. I mean, it sounds okay. That means that if it's a dog, be a faithful dog. But when you call a child a pig, he may grow up to be one, big one. Things like that, you know. Because that is significant in the name. So Nimrod, I don't know why, who, you know, Ham called his son Cush, and Cush called his son Nimrod. That's, those names are rebellious names. And that's what actually they are. You lift up to your the name, your character. Why is King Richard in England called Richard Lionheart? Why is he called the Lionhearted? Because he was a good king who could afford to fight. That's what meaning. In those days when you're king, you lead the battle. You go forth. You don't sit behind and say, all to the soldier, charge, and you stay behind. But that's the styles of the American, many of them. They just generally stay behind many times. The British especially, they stay behind. They don't go forward. You lead your people. That's what they do in the Bible in those days. You know. So, you see the how the political move is. So that's why because of the serpent mixture or intermarriage between the sons of God. So now, we are one people with two spirits. I want you to make this clear. The world became one people with two spirits. Every one of us. Do you realize that? Yeah. You see, the thing is that whether you're born again, that's, you know what, whether you're born again or not born again person, you have two spirits. Only that one of them is so dominant that you take for granted. I'm okay, you know. You don't think, realize that you are on the side. Maybe you don't, you're not as bad as many people that are the criminals. Right? But you see, have you ever thought? You do lie once a while, white lie, whatever. Look at Abraham. Yeah. What did he do? He committed iniquity. He lied. Told his wife to lie to save his own skin. God exposed all this so that we all can look at ourselves. Why mankind are in such a mess? That's what the Bible said. You must be born again. Right? Yes, sir. True. You must be born again. Oh, Nicodemus, he was a religious man. He didn't know. He thought that getting into heaven was to keep the commandment of God, the Ten Commandments, and all the other ritual. But when Jesus came along and preached, he said, wow, this man has something that I want to find out more from him. So he came to him by night, because he was afraid to be seen with Jesus in the daytime, because he was a Pharisee, he was a man, a religious leader, and all those other religious leaders, if they saw him seeing, talking to Christ, Jesus, they probably want to find out, what are you talking to the man about? Huh? That man is an illegitimate child born of Mary. And we don't know who the father is, you know, they will say. And you go and talk to the man who called himself a prophet? And you are supposed to work with a PhD, you know, you learned so many years in college and so theological school, you should know better. But you know, Nicodemus knew there was something that Jesus had, and he didn't. So he came to Jesus Christ by night and asked him, Rabbi, Master, and yes, all this, and how do you get into the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, you must be born again. Well, you know how his thinking is. He was supposed to be intelligent, smart man, religious man. Jesus said, you must be born again. What? You mean, am I going back to my mother's womb again and reborn? Well, I mean, we read that in the Bible. We couldn't believe, right? That a man talked to us. You know, reason, because of the word that Jesus said, you must be born again. He think immediately that I must go back to the womb of my mother and pop up. That must be reincarnation. That's not a rebirth. And there's no such thing as reincarnation. And Jesus says, you're supposed to be a religious leader and you don't know what I'm saying. You see? So, that which is born of flesh is flesh. Let me say, once you're born out of your mother's tummy, you are flesh. And Jesus said, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Flesh give birth to flesh. But the Spirit give birth to the Spirit. Your spirit inside you is dead. All have seen and come short of the glory of God. That's why this spirit inside you is dead. Do not know God. Do not know anything about the reality of our being. So you must be born again. That's what Jesus said. How are you going to be born? How does one get to be born again? Jesus said, unless you're born of the Word of God and the water of life of God, His Word, you do not have eternal life. And all you have to do is what? To believe in the Word that Jesus said. You have to believe in the atonement work that Jesus had done. We cannot save ourselves. Because the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. That's already there. So how can you ever save yourself? You can't save yourself. You can go on your knees and you do your penance or whatever it is, or go to visit all the religious sites in the world and pray to all the gods in the world. Just like one of my colleagues that I work with. In his room, on the shelf, there were all kinds of idols. Photograph of Jesus, Mary there, and then your Buddha, you have Krishna, you have all the gods. All the idols. I asked him, why do you have that? He said, well, I worship every one of them, except maybe one of them must be correct. One of them must be the true God. So that's trying to save his own skin, worship everyone. One of them must be correct. But that's not how you worship God. You see. So when we realize that God sent His only begotten Son to be a propitiation for sin, and all we have to do is believe that He did it for us. Someone who died for us, someone who took the place. There is no greater love than this for a man to lay down his life for a friend. And what did Jesus Christ told the disciple when he chose them? He said, I no longer call you my servant, I call you my friend. Because the servant, the boss will never tell the servant everything. But I call you my friend, that I can reveal to you all that I know. So when Christ Himself who laid down His life for a friend, for His people, for you and I, we love God, we have a relationship with God, we are friends. Jesus can say the song we sing. He's not just my brother and my friend. He's also my King and my Savior and my Lord and my God. Because He's firstborn among many brethren that God gave Him as from his very bosom, the very begotten of the Father. Because the Bible said the whole world was framed, the whole universe was framed by the Word of God. And the Bible said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was manifest in the flesh called Jesus Christ. We do not know any God. We wouldn't know God if it wasn't for Jesus. Because Jesus Christ said, I reveal God. No man has seen God at any time. I, who is in the bosom of Father, I came, I reveal God. One of friend, one of the believers years ago, Daniel, when I was with him in the van, he told me, he said, Brother Gan, you know what, since I became a Christian, I realized one thing. Of all the religious, because, you know, he also learned about the different religions. He says, of all the religion and all the holy books, there's only one that we can sit down and discuss of it and it makes sense. And that book is the Bible. There's no religious book that you can read that can make sense to you. That's for sure. And marvel of all marvel, God had kept all that hidden here. And in the 20th century, as I said, God used an atheist to show to the world that this Bible has a special, unique seal in there that nobody else ever saw it. Nobody else could copy or even write a passage to have that seal. Not possible. And that seal was the number 7. How wonderful is God? And the world today, as science, technology increased, and as the Bible said, the knowledge of the world increased, but the knowledge of God's word will also increase for his people. God will bring out more understanding to his people. See? Alright? So that's why we need to be born again now. When you get born again, that's when more trouble comes in. Right? The moment that you are born again, Satan is never at rest. Mind you. Because the purpose of what Satan was doing was to thwart the plan of God. And what was God's plan? God's plan was to have a people, a family, that he could fellowship with. You know, I'm a grandfather now, a con. Okay? A grandfather. I only just hit. I'm over 70 years old, come January. Now, I only have one kid. I mean, one grandkid, sorry. One grandchild. Grandson. Only one. So, you know, for the grandfather or 70 years old coming, and there's only one. But I would like to have a string of them at least to play with. You know what I mean? Maybe in those whole days, that's what happened. And you know, Brother David Cameron, he's younger than me and he's now a great grandfather. See? So you know how the world is. Huh? Instinct? That spirit that within us, that we want to be a father, maybe a grandfather, you know, to see kids. You know, when I was young, let me tell you frankly, when I was young as a teenager, I hate children. To me, children are nuisance. I mean, you know, like one like Elijah and maybe Anna. To them, it's just a nuisance. You know what? Go away, go away. But when you grow old, hey, there's something different now, you know? There is something different. You got to hear. No wonder the Bible said in the book of Jeremiah, the day will come. That is in the tribulation. You know what? Because of fighting and killing, a lot of people die. He said, the whole streets of Jerusalem, there will be no laughter. No sound of children playing. You know, when you hear children playing, you know, they giggle and they, you know, you just look at them. They're so innocent. The spirit that is out there, the relationship. But you know, if you don't have, you go to a place where there's no children. Everybody is old. Well, how do you think? No children. All old men. Old woman. What is this? Look at it. That's why when you go to Japan, you know, you understand those who've been to Japan. Go to those little town and all that. You see a lot of old folk walking like that, pushing with the plan. Right? You have seen it? Well, how do you see children? You know? And when I see little children in the kindergarten, the teacher, you know, bring them all in a group, all, you know, lining up in the chair, just stand there and watch them. You know, just wonderful to watch them, to see. Life, creation. That's life, that's God's creation. But know that when you are born again, hey, there's more trouble. Because the moment I raise that's one thing, just like the Red Indian chief. The Red Indian chief, the chief of Brother Branham, because he accepted Christ in his campaign. He told Brother Branham, he said, no, what is this Brother Branham, we call him a pastor. What is this? I have a problem, you know. Remember I asked him, he said, there's this white dog and black dog fighting in my head. And Brother Branham looked at him and said, which dog wins, you know? That's a very similar thing, which dog wins. And the Indian said, if I feed the black dog wins. If I feed the white dog wins. It's true. You see, once you're born again, your spirit is quickened. So the Bible talks about your spirit is quickened, you become more aware of your relationship with a supernatural being. And then you are conscious of your environment. You are conscious of your thoughts. And Satan is throwing all these thoughts at you. Right? Because once I was a sinner, I do whatever I want. Yes! I went to the owl. I went to the bar and I drink and get drunk. Who couldn't care less? Right? And when I came home, maybe I slapped my wife, scold my children. Or when I'm out there, maybe I flirt with some woman out there, go to some gully bar, whatever it is, and nothing wrong with it. I feel like smoking some cocaine or what's okay, because you know, I'm a sinner. That's only one thing. I only have one spirit between me that is so dominant that I don't care about whatever else that is wrong. You don't think anything is wrong. You suppress it. But now that you're quickened, you realize, oh my goodness, I was such a bad guy. I slapped my wife, I scold my children, you know, I get drunk and beat up, I steal things, and wow. Now I realize, you know. So now I give myself, yeah, the Lord give me strength to walk. Fine, 1 year, 2 years, and the devil keep on doing that. One day the devil throws something, hey, look at that girl, man, how sexy she is, you know, and your eye focus on it, you get tempted, you get aroused, and you want her to go. That's why the black dog start coming. Huh? Is that right? You know, we all face black dogs every day, right? That's wrong. Don't tell me you don't. We do. That's what the Iranian chief was able to be honest and says, if I feed the white dog wins. So what are you feeding? I'm going to feed the white dog. I'm going to feed the spiritual side of me. The side that I am, that I should be. That's why God told Abraham, Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. And what the Bible said, be you perfect as God is perfect. Be holy as God is holy. Yes. We may fall. And God knows it. And God said it's always down to lift you up. Huh? And once you know, you realize you have weak, your where area you're weak in, we need to be watching that. Alright. So now, when we know what Babylon. When they built Babylon, God sent him, came down and confronted their tongue. Well, last Sunday I just a bit too fast talked about different languages. But the very fact is that what I wrote in the book of Genesis, I should have said it that way, because when I said it, it's a common way of saying. There's only one language, and I believe that is Paleo Hebrew, not the way that Hebrew is written today. Alright? But the way that if you look into ancient Chinese, how the Chinese character, for example, Ma. Right? I mean, your brother, you know Chinese? Okay. Yeah, horse, you know, huh? But you know how the word horse is written? No, you know. But today's horse, the way it is written, Hang Yinping, instead of four legs, it just one stroke across in the bottom. Okay, behind the tail, or in front of the tail, whatever. And then the top part is the head with the man, things like that. Okay, now, in ancient times, the Chinese character for Ma is the drawing of a horse. Huh? Then they form the horse and maybe have the four legs, right? Then slowly they change to a character. You understand? Like river, stream. You know how the word stream is written, right? Well, modern stream is quite different from the ancient way of drawing the stream. So the same thing with Hebrew. Paleo-Hebrew are like sticks drawing. Okay? And it takes time to change. Now, but the word that is spoken is standard. Everybody have the same standard. That was what happened in the days when they built before Babel. When they built Babel, when God came down to confront their tongue, it is like one language with different accents. Now in China today. Now if China is not under one language of Hangul Pinyin, I mean in China is only one language, right? You have the way it is written is the way it is written. But what happened was that China had, I was told to me, like 500 dialects or something. Okay? It's one, the same word, but all have so many different accents to it. Now, that's what happened to Paleo language. One only, but it's the accent, it changes, so it's confounding. Okay, we have China today. Everybody speaks now, more or less, try to speak Mandarin. Yi, a, san, su, wu. But now, if you put that character on the board, whether you are Teochew, Cantonese, Hokkien, everybody know what Yi, a, san, su, wu is about, right? But you know, you ask everybody to read it, the Hokkien says, Chik Nung Sa Si Go. Cantonese, Ya Yi Sam Se Wu. And Teochew, Chik Nung Sa Si Go. Do you know what I mean? They all sound. And then those Chinese from those certain places, their accent is so strong, I think many of us can't even understand. Huh? Correct? How many of you understand ever some here, some of those Chinese from Chinese National? Especially those who are hawker, you know, wow. I'm already bad in Mandarin, and now they're speaking that I don't even know where they come from. You know, and so they have the confounding of tongue started. So when people begin to migrate their accent, they start to form their own word and later on develop their own language. Like Japan, for example, is an interesting case. How they cross over from China, took some Chinese word, right? And you call kanji, yeah. And but they pronounce it differently. But Chinese, you really, you know, but they only to pronounce it differently. They want to change it. Right. And of course they have their own Japanese language, the way they write their own character, which is not Chinese. You see. So, from Babel itself, the confusion. Babel itself is in Sinai, was in Sinai, the plain. But it is from there Babylon came into existence. It's called Babylon. Babylon. Babel, it's practically that's what it is. And Babylon came into it. And it became an empire, a great empire. Right? The Babylon Empire. Under Nebuchadnezzar and many others. But what happened to Babylon? It's no more. In its place, another Babylon took over. And that is Mystery Babylon. Babel, political, religious. That one was destroyed. Then that all came in the same area, Babylon. Political, religious, as well. That one got destroyed, and God says, that land is not, that Babylon is not going to rise again. But the spirit of Babylon lives on. And we find in the book of Revelation, it's called Mystery Babylon, and that Mystery Babylon is none other than what we see today in the Catholic Church. What the Bible call the organization, the Mother of Harlots. Mother of Harlots. She's the mother. The harlots are prostitutes. They are all the denomination that came after it. And that's all the same thing. The mother is political. Remember Babel? Nimrod, after his father died, he married his own mother. Right? Semiramis. When Nimrod died, the mother proclaimed to the people that Nimrod is now become God. And so if Nimrod is God, she's the mother, she becomes the mother of God. That's what we have in the Catholic system. The two Babylon. One, what happened back in those days of Babylon, and what we see in Mystery Babylon today in the Catholic system. You understand? And all this was taught the plan of God, and so today when you say Christian,
People say, Christian, what is Christian? He asks a Catholic person, are you a Christian? He says, I'm a Catholic. I'm a Christian, yes, I'm Catholic. You go to another one from Methodist, he says, are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian, I'm a Methodist. Are you a Christian? Yes, I'm Jehovah's Witnesses. You see how they name it? But because these are all the confusion. The Bible simply tells us this. What did the Bible, what did God call you and me? That are His children. What did He call us? He called us saints. He called us beloved. Yeah. That's what we are. We are not only that the word Christian was given to the Christian in those days of old. Because these are the people that followed the teaching of Christ. And so the name Christian was tacked to those that follow Christ Jesus. So to this day, yes, we are Christian. If I ask, are you a Christian? Yes, I am. What denomination are you in? They will ask. Most of the time. I've been asked, are you a Christian? I said, I am. What denomination? I said, what denomination? Pretend that you don't know about denomination. What denomination? Oh, I mean, what I mean is, are you a Methodist or Baptist? Oh, I didn't know that Baptists and Methodists are Christian. Baptists and Methodists. You know what I'm saying? They're not Christian. They are just Methodists. They're Baptists. They're Catholic. They're Jehovah's Witnesses. They're Mormon. You see how Satan did all this to confuse the people. And you know, I have talked to people who are not Christian. They didn't even know. They even asked me, say, how come there are so many denominations? They didn't know this. They didn't even know where they come from. God, I don't blame them because they don't know. No, because this is a religious thing. You see? But once many of us here came from religious background, whether you're from Methodist, a Baptist, or Pentecostal, right? I came from a Baptist to a Pentecostal because I realized from Baptist I went to Pentecostal because of no church history. The Pentecost was the last of the move in the 20th century. But then God opened my eyes to see that these are organizations. And God says, come out! Come out from that trail! The serpent thing that confuses people! So you understand that? Alright, let's go. Now, we realize that when Babel, why did God destroy Babel? Huh? First of all, God told Noah and his family when they left the ark, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Right? That means, I want you to scatter yourself. Separate, you know. Keep on moving. But Nimrod came around, build this city, build a tower to hold the people. God had to destroy it to separate the people again. Now God would always separate. When people try to unite under a kingdom, a system. And so you know what? We don't belong to an organization. We don't belong to a system. Now I'm glad that Brother Bernays, he was a bishop. He was a bishop, you know. Well paid. I guess because the headquarters is in America. He's in Nigeria. He has a big sized church. Guess the town was paid for. Guess he got a car. Petrol is paid for. But when he saw the truth, finally he came out. He got nothing. Nothing. But you know one thing we have noticed. If God called a man to preach, God will feed him. God will take care of him. When he came out from that big church, organized church, PAW, Pentecostal Assembly of the World, So what does he lost everything. When I went to this church the first time, the little group, they're all young men, young women only. Poor, I mean, they are still undergraduate. He got nothing. But God took care of him now. See? That's why I believe that. But there are a lot of preachers still begging for money. And I don't believe that when you are called of God, God will take care of you. You don't go begging for money.
Now, a brother told me one time when he caused trouble in the church that I helped back then in the 80s. Some people have laughed. He came up to me and said, "Brother, now that we laughed, your church size is small. Do you think you have enough for your family?" I said, "Don't you worry. If God did not call me, I got to go back to work." You know, I love nursing job. So if I want to go back to work, and they say we start from the bottom up, that's the way it goes. So I'll go back to work. I said, if God called me, then God will feed me. He will take care of me. You know. And all these years, God has been. And yet people are over the seas are wondering, how is it possible? And I always marvel at that. And I always smile and I always laugh when they ask me, "So, brother, God, how big is the church?" I said, you estimate. 1,000 people? Really? I said, "No, I don't have that." "You must have a nice church building with 1,000 people." "No, no. 500. They say, "No, no. No? 300? No. 100? No, no. Less than 100. Less than 100, yeah. 50? I said, "Only I have less 30, 40 people." "So how could it be?" I said to them, "Do you think God is looking for big churches so that he could fulfill the preaching of the gospel? How many did Jesus Christ choose? Did he choose? 12. And one of them is the devil. They betray him. Only 11. And he sent them out. Huh? And he goes on the world. I said, the Bible said this. Jesus prayed and he said, "The Father, I've done the job. I've done everything. I'm praying for this disciple of mine. That when they go out, that the people, when they preach to the people, that the people believe the word that they say. Because they bear the witness of what Christ has done." You see? And it's not about the size. The other kind of church is the biggest church in the world. But are the people born again? That's what Teresa, Mother Teresa, she did so much wonderful work in Calcutta. I really admire her. And yet, when she was about dying, she didn't even know whether she had salvation. She don't know. How could it be? Because why? She was trapped in the religious system. She was trapped like many Christians, many religious people. They are trapped like going to temple, do this, do that, do this, do that, and don't even know what they are doing. And they think, hopefully, they find favor with whoever God that they worship. And the Bible tells us that there is only one God. And God told the children of Israel, to the apostle, the prophet, to tell them, "I am that I am. I am God and there's no other God beside me." But we have a lot of gods in many religions and they're always fighting. Some gods are fighting, huh? Yeah, especially the Indian God, huh? Yeah, yeah. There are so many millions of them. They're fighting among themselves. I don't understand. You know? So do we know why we are here, what we are doing on this earth? Born, eat, grow up, and die. Is that what it is to us? Well, animals are for that purpose. They live and they die. The tree bears fruits. It dies. Oh no, I mean, a fruit drop. No, right, it's born again. That's what the trees are. But human beings, we are created in the image and likeness of God. And there must be a purpose in life. Like parents give birth to children. Why do they give birth to children? Depends on their agenda. In India, they want to give birth to children so the children can go out there and beg. Huh? Or do whatever they're supposed to do, bring money. And in China also, the same thing, many Chinese have these bad ideas. Like my father did. You know. Give birth to many children so that in old age he would have a good life. The children support. The Bible does not tell you this. The Bible only tells us one thing. Honor thy father and thy mother. The Bible did not say to the father, give birth to many children so when you're old, retire so they can feed you and take care of you and make your life comfortable. That's not the idea. Because your children did not ask to be born. Right? We want children because we want to have a family and raise our children up. We don't depend on them. They depend on us. God do not depend on you. We depend on God.
He's our Father.
We call Him so He will feed us and care for us. But the world is so twisted because when the serpent came in and sin and did all this. You see how that the line moves so close to each other between God and sin. Just the opposite faults. And yet very close to some people, it is truth. Huh? Yeah. So God confronted the towns, separated the people again. Alright, now they were separated. What was the purpose of separation? Because God wanted the people to migrate, wanted the people to fill up the whole earth. So now we go over to another chapter. It took quite some time for what happened after Babel to chapter 12. Now as I said this, that the three sons of Noah, Ham, Shem and Japheth, their chronology, each of these children, or each of these sons of Noah, the listing, or the list of the generation of descendants, was not based on firstborn. Okay? So we see, for example, Noah's firstborn was Japheth. His secondborn was Ham. And the last son was Shem. But the name of Shem was placed first. Because God is now choosing. Inheritance no longer comes from the firstborn. Is given to the firstborn. So God can now switch by choosing whom He will to have the descendant of the Messiah coming from that line. So He chose Shem. But from Shem's line, as we already said, God chose the line or the son of Arphaxad. I mean the Shem's son, the third child, the third son, Arphaxad. He was not the first son. Now it's Arphaxad, the third one. And then from there, of course, was one child born called Eban or Heba. Where's the word Hebrew came from? You see? So the Bible just always said Shem was the father of Eban. Shem was the father of the Hebrew people, so to speak. And today when you talk about Hebrew people, there's only one race that we know, and that's the Jew. Right? But at that time, the word Iba means just a name. But there were people who were living over on the other side of the Tigris River and the Euphrates River before they crossed over to go down to Canaan land, to the Middle East, or to the land what we know now today as Israel and all those, Syria, all that land is called Canaan land. So the word Hebrew means people from that other side. Hebrew, Ibri, coming, crossing over. But the name actually was stuck to Eva through the descendant where the descendant came forth that gave birth to the children of Israel. And of course, it came from Abraham. Alright? So interestingly, the word Hebrew or Eber is stuck to one particular race. You understand? Now, when we talk about Indian, the word Indian, what does the word Indian mean? Anybody know what the word Indian means? Anyone? And today, when we talk about, if we just casually walk around and talk and say, the Indian. Now, people who pass by hear the word Indian, what would they think? They will think about the black Indian. Right? They don't think about the red Indian. What's that? No, it's nothing to do with the river. The word Indian present means the native. The native always call Indian. The native people of the land always call Indian. You know? If you go over to the Amazon, those people, I know those Amazon people, the Indian people. Because the native there, it's just a word. You know, how come the red Indian and America called Indian? Because they're the native people there before the white people went there. Right? Remember? And the white people went there, controlled them and killed them and took over the land. So you have the white Indian, the red Indian, the black Indian and the white Indian from Europe and the yellow Indian from China. That's what we end in. So, interestingly, isn't it? So, let's look at chapter 12 here. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country. But before we go to this, let us read verse 27 of chapter 11 first. Let's get a pairing there. Chapter 11, verse 27. Now these are the generation of Terah. Terah begat Abraham, Nahor, and Harun. Now, Terah gave birth to three sons. I don't know why God was doing this sort of thing. Huh? It seems that, look, Noah has three sons. Terah has three sons. Huh? Interesting, huh? Okay, now the whole thing is reversed as well. Abraham was not the firstborn. Okay? Abraham was the thirdborn. Abraham, Nahor, and Harun. Okay? And then, of course, he was just telling us who gave birth to who. Now, in verse 31, and Terah took Abraham his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth from them, with them from Ur of Chaldee, to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran, and dwelt there. So now, they were living in a place called Chaldee. Chaldee is Mesopotamia. Just the region of where the Tigris rivers are. Okay, it's still there today. Ur, Chaldee was there. There was a city called Ur. So they lived there and they moved. The father, Terah, wanted to bring them all down to Canaan land. But you know, God did not speak to Terah. God spoke to Abraham. So Abraham must have expressed it to Terah. And Terah was already said, okay, let's go then. So they went up the river to come down. They traveled up eastward. Okay? Because there is always, the river very wide, huh? You cannot cross. You're going to go to a narrow upward stream. So they traveled up and they went to a place called Harun. What happened to be the name of the city as well as, you know, the name of one of his sons. But then when they were staying there, I guess maybe he's old, he could not travel anymore and just wanted to stay there for a while, but he died there in the city. It was after the death of his father that Abraham moved down towards Canaan. Now God chose Abraham. Again, this is God's choice. And I said this before. God is sovereign. You want a portal? You cannot say anything. God chose whom he wants to choose. That's right. That's what the Bible tells us, Paul told us very clearly. God already foreordained a certain people, they will come to knowledge of the truth. Alright? He chose, he already foreordained them. And then he took his time to call them. So God chose Abraham. But the question is, why did God choose Abraham? What did he choose Abraham? There, Abraham had uncle, brother, cousin, nephew. Huh? Whole lot of people out there. But what did he choose Abraham? Remember that after the Tower of Babel, I mean, already religion was so, no, they have their own religion. People take the name of Yahweh, only one God. They know there's only one God, Yahweh, but they started to go invoke the name of God upon piece of stone or a sculpture and things like that. By and by they changed their name to Milcom, Astaroth. Yes. They would change the name to something else. So the name was no longer the name of God. But you can never use the name of God and invoke it upon an idol, huh? Mm-hmm. Because God is spirit. That's why they worship God, must worship in spirit and truth. Not a picture of a face of Jesus Christ as a painter would draw it or whatever and say, oh, that's Jesus, and you look at that and you pray. No. It's just a painting. Nobody has seen Christ at all. In reality, except those days, because those days there were no picture taken. All in the painting. If you have seen a vision of Christ, yes, you only probably would. That's how he would look like, but that's all. But you're not going to face a picture and worship it. God says, don't make graven images. You understand? So they were all, by the time Abraham's family, many of them are already worshipping idol. They have lost the sense of one true God that they even know. Oh, look at Christianity. Yeah, he said we know one God. Then how is it that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the Trinity? Where did that come from? Satan twisted that back in the 4th century AD. When the characters began to organize and then to formulate the Godhead and make God into a Trinity. So, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are three in one. The Bible never teaches three in one. There's no such thing. God said, I am He, and there's no other God before me, nor is there after me. I do not know any. There's only one Spirit, and that's God. But God has a Son. Where did the Son come from? It was when He birthed the Son in the Spirit into a form of the Word to reveal Himself. And only 2,000 years ago, He put that Word in a body that He made. And that body was the body of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. That's what Jesus Christ was called, the Son of God. But people are saying that Jesus and His Son and Father are equal. They were already existing together long ago, and there was a third person called the Holy Spirit. Three of them was there already for eternity. How did that happen? That never was in the Bible. Only God was ever. God says, I am that I am. And if you ask me, where did God come from? You go ask Him. Because I know one thing. If there is no assistant of God, I won't be here today. Do you understand what I'm saying? Huh? If there is no assistant, the existing of a watchmaker, this watch does not exist. As I said, I used to discuss with people that this watch, how did it come about? I put some plastics and metal into a box and I shake it for 1 year and open up, hey, there was a watch. They said, you're joking. I said, yes, of course I'm joking. And you are joking too, because you said that there's no God. Everything just appears by itself. And you came from a monkey. I said, can you believe that you come from a monkey? Like the scientist said, you come from a monkey? That kind of keep their mouth shut a little bit. You know how evolution is? Darwin's theory. And Darwin was a Christian. And he regretted that theory. Because he was sort of forced into, when he traveled, put Galapagos Island and all the strange island, whatever, he's supposed to observe the different animals and then theorize that where did they come from? They said, oh, they come from this. That's why he got Darwin's theory, evolution theory. He regretted it. It's nonsense. Huh? A duck from a temple into a frog. And from a frog into a little mouse. From a mouse into what? Into a big rat. And from a rat into what? A little monkey. A little monkey that started to climb on a tree. And they started to say, hey, look. I don't want my tail. I want to come down and walk like a man. So walk like a man. And then when you came down and walk, you walk like a man, Around Utah. A gorilla. But the gorilla is still gorilla. The frog is still a frog. Right? If a frog ever changed into another creature, the frog should no longer exist. The Bible said God created everything after His own kind. Tell me, what books in the world tells you the truth? Any religious book tells you the truth. But don't say, oh, my Quran tells the truth. Because the Quran was part of the Bible. Was taken out from there too. So they are part of what's in the Quran is there. That's why they have Abraham, Ishmael also. They even have Jesus in the Bible, in the Quran. But this is the only one true thing. This is the real deal. This is the original. It tells me where I came from. It tells me where I'm going. But Satan just messed up everybody's life. Everybody is confused. And all the people were worshipping. Abraham was from a idolatrous family. They were all worshipping idol. You can find out later on because even his children and Lot's people, they were all carrying little idol in their hand. I would see
I used to see some of these men, elderly folk especially, they go to Thailand and they come back with this big rosary thing with a pendant, huh? A little image of a god in there encased in plastic. You have seen that, right? Yeah. I work in a hospital where one of the patients that I dealt with was demon possessed. I was in that time with the examiners of God Church, and the pastor came up to me and said, "Since you work in a Woolwich hospital, can you come with me? Because one of the deacons in the church had a friend who was doing all crazy things and told the pastor. So the pastor asked me to go with him." I said, "Okay, well, what's wrong?" He said, "We're going to visit this guy." So I was there in the church that time, and I went with him. Went to the church. He was at Sterling Road. You remember where Sterling Road is? You know, Commonwealth there. One of the house. We went there. The man was not in the house, but we talked to the family, and the brother was there. So we asked questions. The pastor asked what happened. Then this is what he said. The brother said, "My brother went to Thailand. He came back. After he came back, he behaved very strangely. He took a bottle. I don't know whether you all remember those magnolia milk. Some of you who are in my age would know. Magnolia used to have milk that is strawberry and, you know, you have never seen. Okay, anyway, it's a little bottle. And he said that we're sitting in a different room, in the living room. Say, my brother will put the bottle in the center of the room, and then he had a little idol. Okay, I mean, a lot of Chinese people call it Guijian, a little devil. I don't know, that's how they call it. He said he put that and sit onto the top of the hole, you know, because the whole bottle, just so they could sit on it. Then he will bow down before him. And the brother and the mother brother was there, said, we all don't know what he was doing. He bowed down and then he moved around and bowed down and moved around and bowed down before that idol. He did this every day. And then one day he turned, became very violent. He started to jump on the chair and the sofa and jump in the living room. Then he was quiet. Then went to sleep. And the brother told us this. He said, one night, because they were sleeping in the same room together, bed, opposite bed, right? And he was sleeping quiet. He said, at midnight, his brother suddenly jumped up and started to speak. What? I don't know. See, in the language he doesn't understand. So he was very slow and said, look at his brother. His brother was just staring and don't, you know. And after that he started to jump, become very chaotic. So they called the police and he was brought to the hospital where I woke. But I wasn't in that ward. So I went to visit him with the pastor. So we went to the ward and he was in the lockup. You know, Ben, patient was violent and strange behavior. He was in a lockup. When we went into the lockup, we called his name. This is one of the tests that we always do. We called his name. He was sitting there with only his, you know, he doesn't wear a shirt because he tripped himself almost like half naked. He sit there, we called his name. He looked up. Whoa! I saw his eyes. Very glassy. I know that he's possessed. He looked at us, he looked down. And I kept on calling him, he refused to look. We talked to him, he refused to answer. Nothing can get through to him. So we left. I went in my walk and woke, of course. My walk is on the other wing. So when I went back to work, I used to go back and see him and read his case note. So when I went, one day I was when he's coming like quiet, sitting down with other patients, very quiet. So I read his case note. They gave him electric shock. You know, electric shock, huh? To try to confuse the mind, you know. Because when I read the case note, I couldn't believe what I read. He was so violent that he could took up a bed. You know, if you go to a hospital bed, especially when you work in a mental hospital, that bed is very heavy. It's not like a simple light bed, a wooden bed you can carry. It takes at least two persons to carry to move it. It's solid cast iron. He took it and lifted it up and threw it across the dormitory. You think about that. So they give me an injection and shock him. So when I read the case, I sat with him down there, with other patients sitting with me. He was already being lecturer, so he was just big. So I talked to him. I said, how are you doing? How are you feeling now? He said, I'm okay. I'm okay. He speaks English. Okay. I said, how do you feel now? Very tired. I said, do you know what are you playing with? He said, yes. I said, how many do you have? I have five. I think he remembered five or something like that. And I said, you should throw those things away. It's very dangerous. Yes, yes. I throw it all away except one. I said, why do you want to keep that one? And who is that one? He said, he is a 1.5-year-old brother. And that's what the brother was telling me. He said, when he woke up in the night, the brother was looking at him and he said, his brother was speaking, he said, do not fear. I am a 1.5-year-old boy in possession of your brother. That's what the brother told us. And I asked him and he told me the same. He's a 1.5-year-old boy. So I said, what do you want to play with through? No. He gave me strength. I said, how do you feel now? I'm weak. So when he comes, I feel very strong. You know? So I after that, of course, I went back to my walk. And somehow he was discharged after a while. You know, they found Dr. Israel, give me injection and confuse them, give some drug and then tranquilize them, sedate them. Fine. I don't know what happened to him after that because I no longer went to hospital. You see how terrible it is when people meddle with things they do not know. You take a piece of little thing, gold thing, and you make that into an image, and you invoke some name onto it, some kind of god onto it, that became your object of worship. And demons will hang around these places. That's why we get haunted house. Yes. Huh? You know about Brother John Mark Lawless' testimony? The house was so haunted, anybody who lived there would die in the morning. And the police would not give him the key. He said, no, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Because that night he and his family had no place to sleep. The police man said, you are so brave, huh? Okay, you take the key, you go. Alright? And Brother John Mark took his family. When he opened the door, he could hear footsteps running. And he took the name of Jesus Christ on him. And cast out the demons, and he slept. In the early morning before the sun came, the policemen were there at the door. John Mark, are you still alive? He said, yes, I'm still alive. They couldn't believe it. And that thing happened there, it was a miracle. And even the policemen reported to the mayor of the town, or the governor of the town, a woman, came and talked to him and saw his faith. He gave him a pass, because at that time, Uganda was still under control by, you know, military because of the Idi Amin's kids. So he was saying, you can go anywhere because there's always checkpoint. Nobody will hinder you. Go and preach the gospel of Jesus. You know. So, imagine who God is. Abraham. Yes, sure. But God chose him. Because why? God said, come up. Come up from your homeland. I will show you the land. I will give this land to you. Your descendant will be my people. And it is through Abraham now that God separated from all those idol worshippers, from his own family, his own kindred kind. Abraham found grace in God's eyes. I don't know what's in the heart of Abraham. I don't know. But God look at your heart. What is your relationship to him? Maybe Abraham was looking out there in the whole wide universe up there in the night sky. And all his uncle and auntie and all the nephew were worshiping all kinds of idols. And how could it be? And a piece of wood is a god. A piece of stone is a god. Or you cut an image of a piece of gold and said that's God. So perhaps something about him, I don't know. They said, God chose Abraham. Come on, I'll show you. And later on God showed to himself, I am. That I am. Who are you, Lord? I am that I am. I am. Always am. Because God is never that I was. I am and I will be. No, this I am. What is yesterday is gone. What's tomorrow hasn't come. We live from day to day. God is always in the present. I am that I am. In Hebrew word, Yahweh. Wahe.
I am the I am. I am the self-existing one. I always am. Now we understand who God is. And Satan never at rest. We'll close here. Heavenly Father, your grace, O Lord, be with us. Let your word, O Father, bring forth more light and understanding. And to the thirsty soul, O Father, they will say, Lord, reveal some more to me. And those who will be watching this video or watching you, listening to the audio, Lord Father, I pray that you'll also bless them, Father. And feed everyone whose heart thirsts for righteousness and more of God. So we commit ourselves to you this day, also, Father. In this little fellowship, bless every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen.